إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. أرحب بكم جميعا. Once again, I welcome all of you. And we continue, inshallah ta'ala, reading from Al-Ajwib al-Mufida and Asilat al-Manahij al-Jadida, Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovated Methodologies. لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد العلامة الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. سؤال: كيف تكون المناصحة الشرعية لولاة الأمور؟ سؤال مهم. كيف تكون المناصحة الشرعية لولاة الأمور؟ It's a very important question because this question a lot of Muslims don't understand it. Whether they don't know the answer, the right answer for it, or they have other answers from Ahlul Bidah, from the Hizbis, who they don't give them the truth and what they're supposed to know. The question is, how should we advise the rulers according to the religion? Because the Muslims, they have rulers. You live in a land, of course there is a president or a king or an emir, a ruler. So how to deal with this ruler? How to advise him? That's very important for us to know. Islam is not just learn how to pray and how to fast. You gotta learn this too, the whole religion. How to deal with your parents, how you treat them, how you deal with your wife if you're married, how she deal with her husband if she's married, how you deal with your children, the children deal with their parents, how you deal with your neighbors, how you deal with, you have a business, you gotta learn how to treat the people that work for you. You work for someone, you have to know how to treat and deal with this person that signed your paycheck. Likewise, how you deal with the ruler. Now, قال الشيخ الدعاء لهم مناصحة أولاة الأمور تكون بأمور منها. He says, advising the rulers can be done in several ways. منها الدعاء لهم بالصلاح والاستقامة لأنه من السنة الدعاء لولاة الأمور المسلمين ولا سيما في أوقات الإجابة وفي الأمكن التي يرجى فيها إجابة الدعاء. The Sheikh said, advising the rulers can be done in several ways, amongst which are supplicating for them, making dua. This is something that the Hizbis and the ignorant, those who don't know the deen, they think, no, you don't make dua for the ruler. Don't say, oh Allah, rectify the ruler, oh Allah, help him upon good. They say, no, make dua against him. And this is not from the Sunnah. It is not from the Sunnah. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, and when he says, from the religion, meaning that which is legislated to us by Allah, meaning this is what Allah is going to accept. Yes, there is a lot of people out there that they don't like this. They don't want to hear this answer. They don't want to hear this answer. Why? Because of their ignorance. Some are ignorant, and some because of the sickness of their hearts. They have sick hearts. And they can't accept the haq when it's presented to them. How you advise the Muslim ruler, like for example, the Muslims in Saudi Arabia, they have a ruler. Right now is Al-Malik. Can you shut that, please? Is Al-Malik Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz Al-Saud. in Saudi Arabia, that's their ruler. Okay? So likewise, and I just mentioned him as an example. There is other Muslim countries, they have rulers. How they should deal with these rulers, but according to what's pleasing to Allah. That's what's important to us. Not according to whatever bring us anything. No, according to what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, so advising the rulers can be done in several ways, amongst which are supplicating for them for rectification and uprightness. It is from the sunnah to supplicate for Muslim rulers. It is from the sunnah to make dua for the Muslim ruler. Especially, the Sheikh says, especially during times when the supplication is answered and in the places where it is anticipated that the supplication will be answered. We're going to continue read the answer of the Sheikh, and then we give you the footnotes. Important. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, قال الإمام أحمد لو كان لنا دعوة مستجابة لدعونا بها للسلطان. لو كان لنا دعوة مستجابة لدعونا بها للسلطان. Imam Ahmad, this great Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, this is a great Imam, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. What did he say? He says, if we had a supplication that would be answered, I would surely use that supplication for the ruler. SubhanAllah. He says, if I know, this is a great Imam, Imam Ahmad. He says, if I know that one supplication will be answered, I will make it for the ruler. Allahu Akbar. Why? Listen to the reason why. قال الشيخ صلاح الفوزان إذ في صلاح السلطان صلاح للمجتمع وفي فساد السلطان فساد للمجتمع. Why? Because this great Imam, he knows if the ruler is upright, the society will be upright. Okay? And if the ruler is corrupt, the society will be corrupt. Because if the ruler is upon the sunnah, upon the aqidah of the salaf, what's going to happen in the land? You can tell me. Yes, he's going to implement the sunnah. He's going to reflect in what? In schools, right? The curriculum is going to be what? Ash'ari? Mu'tazila? Khawarij? Rafida? Shia? No. The curriculum is going to be of people of sunnah. In schools. The masajid, the a'imma who they be hired to give sermon on Jumu'ah, lead the masajid. Who are they going to be from? What sect? Huh? From the saved sect. People of sunnah. Even if somebody want to play the games, a Rafidi, Shi'i Rafidi, because Rafida, that's their real name that they should supposed to be called with, like Sheikh Abdul al-Bukhari and others says. He says a Rafidi, for example, from Iran, those who curse the companions, and many other stuff. And, or a Sufi, Ikhwani, Tablighi, Habashi, Mu'tazili, Jahmi, Khariji, Ash'ari, Qadiani. If these people, even if they want to play games and express that they are people of sunnah, but then Allah will expose them later on. And that imam, that ruler who's upon the sunnah, he will deal with them. He's going to establish the sunnah. He's going to establish Islam in that land. No haram. Nobody will be wronged. He's going to judge by the Quran and the sunnah what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No bidah, innovation, no democracy stuff, you know. Let's vote and see what we can do here. Whatever Allah made haram in his book, or in the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what's going to be haram. And whatever is halal, it's halal. Okay? That's. But if the ruling is corrupt, what's going to happen? It's going to reflect on society. If that ruler is a Rafidi, you going to teach Sunnah now? You can't teach Sunnah. He's going to just kill the people of Sunnah. Like what happened in Iraq right now. See, after when Saddam Hussein go, when he went, we don't know where he went, Allahu A'lam. But they said he was killed and the like. I didn't see that. So, Allahu A'lam. So, but he's not there anymore. He's not the ruler anymore, right? So who became the ruler? Rafida. That person, what's his name? The president, what's his name? Al-Maliki. Nuruddin al-Maliki is from the Rafid. They put him in there. And they start killing Ahlul Sunnah. Get rid of Ahlul Sunnah. You see? This ruler who is corrupt, he's going to let people do whatever they want to do. Alcohol, mixing, tabarruj, gambling, alhamdulillah, name it. Corrupt aqidah and the creed. So that's why Imam Ahmed, he says, if I have an answer, if I know that a dua will be answered, I will ask Allah to rectify the affairs of the ruler, make him upright. قال وكذلك ومن النصيحة لولاة الأمور القيام بالأعمال التي يسندونها للموظفين. Likewise, you want to be sincere to the ruler? Is, the Sheikh says, is that what also falls under advising the rulers is performing the jobs that he assigns to his employees. Because the ruler cannot be in every single village, every single what? County, every single state. He has governors. Okay, they help him. They're the ones that are supposed to do their job as well. You see? Now you find the people, they're the ones that steal. The mayor is a thief. The governor of that state is a thief. Those employees that work in city hall or any place, they corrupt, and then they want to blame it on who? The ruler. The ruler, man, is not doing. What do you mean the ruler is not doing? They're the one that's stealing. They're the one that's causing problems. You see? وكذلك من النصيحة تنبيههم على الأخطاء والمنكرات التي تحصل في المجتمع وقد لا يعلمون عنها ولكن يكون هذا بطريقة سرية فيما بين الناصح وبينهم لا النصيحة التي يجهر بها أمام الناس أو على المنابر لأن هذه الطريقة تثير الشر وتحدث العداوة بين ولاة الأمور والرعية. الشيخ says another way of advising them, meaning the rulers, is to alert them of the errors and evils that occurs in the society, which they are not aware of. There are certain evils that that ruler may not even know what it is. He's not in every place, in every corner. You gotta tell them. But how you tell them this is how people, they go wrong? The Sheikh, he says, how you tell them? However, this should be done in private, you see, between the one who is advising and the rulers. It is not the advice that is openly propagated in front of people or while upon the minbar and Jumu'ah. People don't want to talk about the mistakes of the ruler or whatever in Jumu'ah. They're not talking to the ruler, they're talking about him. Okay? Listen to what the Sheikh is saying. He said, since doing it, this way breeds evil and causes hatred to spread between the rulers and their subjects. That's what happened. And this is one of the deviant groups of our time, is Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun, who were founded by Hassan al-Banna and supported heavily by Sayyid Qutb, these two Ikhwanis, they're the ones that spread this evil and this poison that is killing the Ummah these days. Illa man rahim Allah. All of these problems you see right now in studying Tunisia, went to Libya, in Egypt, Yemen, Bahrain, Syria, Iraq, this here, over there. These are only the countries that they like, they were affected the most. But actually every single Muslim country is affected by this, by the evil of Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. Because them, they don't care about no aqidah, they don't teach tawheed, they don't teach the aqidah, they don't teach the sunnah. What they good at is to get the people against the rulers. So that chaos happened, like what happens, see? And so that they get rid, the people get rid of the rulers, and they will take their places. Like what happened in Egypt, and Tunisia, and the like. Libya is still a mess. Libya is, may Allah have mercy on the people of Libya, I mean. And the rest of the Muslims in other countries. Libya is a big mess right now. Many people who, subhanAllah, we heard them with their own tongue. In the time of Gaddafi, when he was Gaddafi, of course Gaddafi was a criminal. Gaddafi, some of the ulama, he says he's a kafir. Because this man, he says there is no sunnah. Only Quran. This man was a criminal. But still, how you change him or how you deal with that, you have to let the ulama tell you what to do. But some people, they don't listen to the ulama, they listen to the ignorant. Look what led Egypt now, right now. It's almost like what, 4 years now almost? Nothing but chaos and terror and fighting, no peace, nothing. May Allah change their affairs. And certain people who they used to say, oh, Qaddafi, this has to go. Now they say what? They say, subhanAllah. In the time of Qaddafi, a criminal, but he was only one Qaddafi. They say, that's their statements. They said, now there is many Qaddafis. Says many Qaddafis. Everybody was...
Libya.
What happened now?
So you're talking about Libya. He's asking
the
question, are you talking about Libya?
Ah, that's what you say? Oh, yeah, yeah.
You say Egypt before you...
Egypt?
Yeah.
Oh, Libya. Libya and Egypt. Egypt too. Same thing, they've been there. But Libya, no. The Qaddafi, he was the president of Libya. Naam, you're right.
Yeah.
Because before they were all like, oh, we're going to get rid of him and establish the sunnah. Now, what sunnah they establish right now? Killing each other, killing innocent people, destroying the land, terror causing terror, al-iyadu billah. May Allah change the affairs, I mean. But the people can do good if they adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah. And the correct understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah in the light of the golden advice of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah. The ulama, they advise the people what to do, but the people, they don't want to hear that. They want to listen to the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, to the ignorant people who, they put the people in the streets, and they don't care what's going to happen to them. As long as, look, go out there, and cause problems, we're watching. Some of those people give fatwa, they live in England. How can it be? Go get killed, you and your wife and children, everybody, go make sure after this Friday, you go out there. Well, wait a minute, the ruler have tanks and soldiers, don't worry, Allah is with you. This is how stuff is done. But the guy who's telling him to do this, he's in Qatar. Sitting in a 5-star hotel, or in London, or in America, or in Germany, or Australia, and telling the youth of the Muslims to go get killed, wal-iyadu billah. That's why it's important to learn the deen, and to take it from its proper sources, to take it from the ulama. So when somebody tells you, go out, you, your wife, your parents, your mother, your children, all of you, get your baseball bats and go out there and face the tanks and face, what are you going to do? You doing? So, you are your mind. You're not doing that. Now we want to say, hold on. Is this right? Is this in the deen of Allah? Let us turn to the people of knowledge, right or wrong. The same way when your car breaks down, do you take it to the Dunkin' Donut? When do you go to Dunkin' Donuts? Where? When you need some donuts and you need some coffee, you want some croissant and egg and cheese. No bacon, of course, unless if it's beef or turkey. But if you know your car is broke, you go to a mechanic. You're sick, your family is sick, your children sick. Where do you go? Go to the doctor. You ain't gonna go to a mechanic and wait over there, and the mechanic look and say, "Hey, something wrong with your car?" "Oh no, no, the car fine. What happened?" "Oh, my child, man, or something, man, wrong with his eye." He's like, "Hey, brother. Oh no, what are you talking about? What can I do for your son?" Go to the doctor. Likewise, you gotta go to the ulama. Don't go to anybody who said something on YouTube. "Oh, mashallah, let's do it." Sheikh, what sheikh? Who made him a sheikh? Some people they never heard of. In a fitna they become sheikhs. Big shot sheikh. Now all of a sudden people are, "Oh, sheikh said, oh, let's go do it." Do what? You gotta stick with the ulama of Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah. And they are known, alhamdulillah, in every time. You think this fitna was going on now in this country, they just happened? Yeah, been happening for cents. 1,000 years or more. Fitan happened in the time of the Sahaba. Some of the Sahaba witnessed trials and fitan, but how they deal with it? Imam Ahmed, he was put in jail many times, was beat up and tortured many times. Did he rally the people? Actually, there is narrations when the people used to come to him and tell him, "Look, man, we're willing to rally behind you. Let's remove this ruler." What Imam Ahmed says, did he say how many you have? "I got 100,000 at least." No, no, he's like, "Look, guys, go stay home. Don't go out in this fitna. Go do ibadah. Go worship your Lord. Read Quran. Teach your children the sunnah. This ruler is a test for you. If he's a test from Allah, you're not going to be able to remove him. And if it's a punishment, you have no... you can't stand against the punishment of Allah. You see how it is? That's how it is. So subhanAllah, even though he was in jail many times, and they still, when he used to make dua for the ruler. Subhanallah. But now, Ikhwan al-Muslimin, la. The ruler is a kafir. The ruler is this. The ruler give money to America. The ruler give money to one. Oh no, he's a spy for this. This alim is a spy. The alim so-and-so, he works for the government. Yeah, Saudi gave him billions. Yeah, this ulama, this says, قال الله قال رسول الله. But the laymen, look, now they were like, they wish, those people now in those countries, they wish if they listen to Sheikh Fawzan. They wish if they listen to Sheikh Rabi'. They wish if they listen to the fatawa of Sheikh Luhaydan and Kibar al-Ulama in our time. The same way those who came before, they wish if they listen to Imam Ahmad. They wish if they listen to the great ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. قال ليست النصيحة أن الإنسان يتكلم في أخطاء ولاة الأمور على منبر أو على كرسي أمام الناس، هذا لا يخدم المصلحة وإنما يزيد الشر شرا. The Sheikh said the advice is not that a person talks about the errors of the rulers while upon the minbar, in the classes, in Jumu'ah. Now it's worse because now Twitter, Facebook, Internet, YouTube, Pal Talk, name it. Huh? So this is not how the nasiha is given. Or upon a chair in front of the people. This does not serve any benefit. It only increases the evil more, actually. قال إنما النصيحة أن تتصل بولاة الأمور شخصيا أو كتابيا أو عن طريق بعض الذين يتصلون بهم وتبلغهم نصيحتك سرا فيما بينك وبينهم. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, he says true advice is that you communicate with the rulers personally or by writing to them or contacting those connected to them. If you are close to a ruler, for whatever reason, then you talk to him in person. You don't have to make a khutbah on the ruler, expose his mistake. You think the ruler will love it when he hears people talking about him on Jumu'ah and nobody talk to him? He says, but if you are not close to him, write. I said, write a letter and send it to the ruler. Alhamdulillah, he receive it, he don't receive it. You did what Allah command you to do. Or if you know certain people that they are connected to the ruler, for example, the ministers and the secretary of states and all those people, senates and who, yeah, talk to them. Tell them, look, man, in our area, there is this corruption, whatever it is, the people who are being put in charge and assigned by the ruler, they're no good. They take in bribery and they are oppressing the people. That's all you have to do. You don't go and give them a khutbah. It's not going to change anything. Or tell the people in, after Jumu'ah, at least rally against this mayor. It's not going to bring no good. He said, you must convey your advice to them secretly, between yourself and them. قال وليس من النصيحة أيضا أننا نكتب نصيحة وندور بها على الناس أو على كل أحد ليوقع عليها ونقول هذه نصيحة. لا، هذه فضيحة، هذه تعتبر من الأمور التي تسبب الشرور وتفرح الأعداء ويتدخل فيها أصحاب الأهواء. Said likewise, advising the rulers also does not mean that we write a piece of advice on paper and disseminate it to the public or to each person individually so that they may have a copy of it while signing and get like signatures. You know how they do? Sometimes they like get as many signatures as they can, right? Petition, they make petitions, see how many people put their signatures, meaning that they agree on this. So this is not how things is done. And then they say, this is advice. Sheikh said, no, this is condemning. And this is considered one of the things that causes evil and brings joy to the enemies. Not to mention, allows the people of desire to interfere. Ignorant people, they could lie about in everything. The ignorant person should know that he's ignorant, and he should say, I don't know. But not everybody can say that in that level. To say, I don't know, you have to be in a certain level. Some people, they're not even in that level. And they talk about each and everything. They put their nose when it doesn't belong. And they cause a lot of problems. Person should say, I don't know. Ask the people of knowledge. Allah tells us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. But these ignorant people, they are like the disease. Ah, let's do it. Takes one person to tell them, let's do it. And they go ahead and do it. They don't care about the consequences because they don't even know the consequences. Because then they just inside one box, they don't know what happened. You know, they don't know these hammers are waiting for them, saws waiting for them. They think it's all clear and nice. You know? It's like someone who went to sleep and it was 80 degrees out there and he slept for a couple of days and the weather changed. His mind, I don't know what, it's storm and he's still going to go outside like thinking it's still hot. Now you gotta look at the window, man, see what's out there. And dress properly for the occasion. If you don't have what it takes, stay where you want. Don't make a move. Likewise, we should know who we are. If I'm not the main guy, but for example, me, people are calling me, asking me a question. Okay? What are we gonna do, Akhi? I'm like, look, man, you're asking the wrong person. Can't give you no fatwa, man. But I can do myself, my best. Let me ask one of the ulama. Like in this fitan, people used to come to me and ask me, Akhi, what do you think the people of Libya should do? I tell him, I'm in no position to tell the people of Libya what to do. But I tell you what to do, you since he asked me this question. Let's start with you. This, you and the people of Libya, they're supposed to take their affairs, if they didn't do it yet, to the people of knowledge. And I told them, there is a lot of fatwa from the ulama. Libya or Egypt or Morocco or Pakistan or Saudi or Yemen or Syria or Iraq, Senegal or Nigeria or any country, any Muslim, Muslims in any country, they want to do what is right, then they have to refer to the ulama. Because they are the ones that understand the Quran and the Sunnah better. Okay? They are the ones that are going to tell them, look, based on this situation, yes, do this and do this. But the layman, they don't want it, because sometimes the person already got with the idea in his mind. If the sheikh doesn't give them what they already wanted, they're gonna go with their plan. You see what I'm saying? And that's a mistake. You shouldn't make no plan before knowledge. That's why knowledge precedes what? Statements and actions. Now, some people, they already have a plan. Is how we're going to do it. They just wanted one of the ulama to endorse it. You think ulama, they're going to endorse batil? No, that's why when the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah don't endorse the falsehood, where they go? Ikhwan Muslimun. Ikhwan, the Ikhwanis are willing to endorse anything with one thing. What's in it for us? What's in it for us? If they see that something in it for them, they endorse it. No problem. And find the hadith, find this, and make a big fitna. And that's what the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, they are very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean the earth from them. So, the Shaykh, he mentioned, now we're going to read to you some of the footnotes. Because as the Shaykh was giving those answers, the brother Jamal, Shaykh Farihan, he was giving some nice piece some nice comments, alhamdulillah. As for the statement of Imam, Shaykh Al-Fawzan, when he says that it is from the Sunnah to supplicate for the rulers. If one Muslimin, they will tell you, man, see? This guy, he's one of them. Yeah, they give him money, that's why. If they hear an imam on a masjid and a khutbah making dua for the ruler, which is the sunnah, and they're like, no, he works for the ruler. Waliyad billah. Imam Abu Muhammad al-Hasan ibn Ali al-Barbahari. Imam Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, in his book, Sharh al-Sunnah, page 116, if you see a man supplicating against the ruler, then know that he is a person of desires. Allahu Akbar. He follows his desires. He doesn't follow the sunnah. And if you see a man supplicating for the ruler to be upright, then know that he is a person of the sunnah. If Allah wills. Allahu Akbar. If you see a man making dua for the ruler, Muslim ruler, to be upright and to be righteous and to be upon the sunnah, you know that man is a man of sunnah. But when you see a man making dua against the ruler, you see that man is not upon the sunnah. Then he says there are many narrations from the Salaf about supplicating for the ruler. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, one of the great Salaf from Scholar of the Salaf, may Allah have mercy on him, said, if I had one supplication that was to be answered, I would not make it except for the ruler. And look, there was Imam Ahmad said this, Imam Fudayl ibn Iyad said this. It was said to him, and why is that, O Abu Ali? He replied, when I make it for myself, it does not go beyond me. But when I make it for the ruler, he is rectified. And he is rectified, and through that, the servants and the land are set in order. You see? So then when I make dua for me, I'm going to benefit me. But if I make that dua for the ruler, and he's right, because he's the one that make calling shots, like we say in our terms. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, dictating to his son, Abdullah, indeed I ask Allah to prolong the stay of the Amir al-Mu'mineen and to keep him firmly established and extend his assistance to him. Verily he is able to do all things. Allahu Akbar. See? Making dua that the ruler be established. Not to be removed like Ikhwan Muslimun so they can jump on his spot. The other footnote is pertaining to the statement when Shaykh Salih Fawzan, hamdulillah ta'ala, he was talking about that it is not permissible and it's not from the sunnah that the mistakes of the rulers to be mentioned in public, whether on the minbar, jumu'ah, in classes, this and that. Because that spread nothing but hatred and bring problems between the ruler and the subjects. He said this is the true and exemplary way of mutually advising the rulers and the leaders. Mean that you shouldn't relate to that, but rather you secretly you advise them between you and them. You alert them of the errors, write to them, tell them, look, in the area where we are, in this county we in, there is that person you, some of the people that you assign and represent you, they corrupt, they take in bribery, they causing problems, they oppressing it. This is what you do. Tell them there is this magician, this lady, she practice magic, and she's causing a lot of problems. You tell the ruler there is these Sufis who are spreading an evil aqidah. There is some Rawafid who just moved in our land, and they calling the people to their evil of Rafida and this. That's what you do. He says, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directed us to this method in his statement. Whoever has some advice to give to the ruler should not speak it out in public. Rather, he should take hold of his hand and confer privately with him. If he, meaning the ruler, accepts the advice, then he accepts it. And if he doesn't, then you have fulfilled what is upon you. Oh, that's it. And also, is a footnote related to those people who publicize the errors and the mistakes of the ruler and talk about it and in the khutbah and rally the people behind this and incite the people and this and that. He says publicizing one's advice to the rulers has several dangers to it. First, there is a form of self-amazement and love for showing off in it. You see? And it is no secret that such an act is bad for someone since it will be exposing him to the annulment of his good deed. This is since if a good deed is kept concealed, it is more likely that it will be accepted in the sight of Allah. You see? Second, it is not likely that the person being advised will accept the advice under these circumstances, since he will feel that it is a defamation of him and not advice. You tell him advice to you on Jumu'ah Khutbah. He sees it on all over on the page, in the front page, on all the news in the country. That's advice. And perhaps he may continue to remain upon the sin out of pride. So that's how you're gonna play the game. We can play the game too. You see, the ruler now, he's not going to listen. And perhaps he may continue to remain upon the sin out of pride. So the individual doing the advising would then be sharing some of his burden of sin. Third, publicizing the errors of rulers upon the minbars, meaning Jumu'ah and classes and the like, and by on a computer right now and the like, even if what is being said is correct, causes instigation of the masses and kindles hatred in the hearts of the subjects towards the rulers. And this in turn leads to a lack of hearing and obeying them in matters of good. And this is from the methodology of the Khawarij. I give you an example. When Ikhwan al-Muslimun, they turned the people of Egypt Illa man rahim Allah, except for those that Allah has mercy on them and they adhere to the Sunnah. When they turned the subjects in Egypt against Hosni Mubarak, what happened? They went out, killing, chaos. Do you remember what Hosni Mubarak did?
He said truth, right?
Hosni Mubarak, he said to them, look guys, let's not destroy our country. I'm gone. Let me finish this couple months. Huh? Let's finish. Because then they're like, no, you have to go, and your two sons cannot be the president after you. He says, okay, no problem. All right. You want to choose one? No problem with me. But this is not how things is done. If I step down, who's going to rule? We need security. We need amen. This is a good thing. All right, so what they want? The man is telling them, look, I'm out of the game. You don't have to worry about me. Next election, what they do elections, you know. But he said, next election, he's out. His kids are out. So what they want more? Nothing. Now they went against and put him in jail and chaos. And why? Because Ikhwan Muslimin, they're not looking for, they're not interested in what is right. They want to do things their way, wal'iyadu billah. And that's from the way of the Khawarij, the Shaykh says. The tragedy of Uthman's murder. Look, you think this is just happening now? This happened in the times of the Sahaba and the one alim. The tragedy of Uthman's radiallahu anhu murder. Because Uthman, the Khalifa, was killed. Only occurred as a result of what some people who were ignorant of the Sunnah did in response to the biased partisans who misrepresented the Khalifa Uthman radiallahu anhu to the people. So it is not permissible to cultivate the youth upon this vile and despicable methodology, which leads people to ruin. Rather, it is an obligation to fight against such a methodology by clarifying and exposing it through the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh, the righteous predecessors of this Ummah. And Allah knows best. The Khawarij, they were spreading, as they claim, the mistakes of Uthman would lie and this and this, so that they can get the laymans against him. And it leads, there are people who listen to them, wal'iyadu billah, which lead to his murder, radiallahu anhu. The Khawarij, they don't care who's in front of them. They killed Uthman, and they killed who? Ali. You think they're going to care about some president here or there? They threaten the ulama now. This ISIS, the Khawarij of ISIS, they threaten Sheikh Saleh Fawzan on the computer, they threaten Sheikh Rabi'. Any alim from the ulama who mentioned the haqq to the people, they threatened them. They said, once we get to you, you'll be gone. But if they're gone or not, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's with Allah. But the person should be upon the haqq, say the truth, and fear no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm upon his path, upon the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah protect us from the evil of Hizbiyya and the Hizbis, and from the Khawarij particularly, and from the Rawafid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm upon the sunnah of our messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa tasliman kathira.